How many have that testimony? Just give God a wave offering of confirmation. Amen. Lord, I've been through, but you've still been good. So we bless the Lord today. We thank God once again. I'm a general person. I just do headlines. I don't give you the details of the news. My wife did the detail, but thank God for everybody that helped out on yesterday. Amen. But especially the 10th people, because they came early, like around 10 o'clock, and stayed until 6 o'clock. So we thank God for that. Amen. Because it was, like she said, it was a family that is not a part of our church. But in times like that, we all have needs. So we thank God for you all, everyone that was here. We thank God for my wife. We thank God for all of you. Amen. And we just thank God. How many know that if it had not been for the Lord?
Yes.
If it had not
been
for the Lord.
Right.
If it had not been for God making ways out of no way. If it had not been for the Lord, there was all. How many know God's on your side?
Amen.
You ought to have a praise.
Amen.
I said you ought to have a praise.
Amen.
If you know that the Lord is on your side. Amen. He makes ways out of. God makes ways out of. Out of no way. So we thank God. I'm going to ask you to stand today for our scripture reading, which will be coming from the 6th chapter of Mark. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. Amen. We just saw. So how many know we're blessed to be alive?
Amen.
Amen. Every day we get more prayer requests for people that have gone through severe sicknesses and trials. Amen. The severe sicknesses and trials. Amen. And, you know, it's just, it's devastating. Matter of fact, my wife was speaking to one of the holistic doctors. And he quietly whispered to her, a lot of these sicknesses that are taking place are nothing more than a conspiracy. Amen. So while you have your life, your health, and strength, don't take it for granted. But work on keeping your health. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to start off reading here in the 6th chapter of Mark, verse 1. Do we all have it? Verse 1 reads, and he went out from thence, and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joses, and Judah, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and his own house. And he could there do no mighty works, save that he laid his hand on a few sick people and healed them. And he borrowed. The Lord said, after all I've done, he said he borrowed because of their unbelief. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Lord, we bless your name. We realize today that we're not here because of our own power, our own holiness. Lord, we're here today because you've been good. Lord, we're not here because we've been so righteous. Lord, we're not here because we've been so faithful. Lord, but we're here this morning because you've been a mighty good God. Now we ask you on today, Lord, speak a word, hallelujah, to strengthen and encourage our souls. Lord, speak a word, hallelujah, so that we don't see our trials. Lord, our eyes are fixed on thee. Now speak a word, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. And for this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name,
amen.
And you may be seated. Amen. Just thank God once again, like I said, for being such a good God. Amen. How many of you were born in 1940 or before? 1940? I don't think so. You be 77. Are you 77?
Yeah.
I tried to go back far enough so he'd never be able to fly when I used this. When I was a young man back in 1940. Was that back in 1940? I don't think so. But I think I go back far enough. So I'm not talking about you. Mother Barbara, don't rush me. Let it come when it comes, all right? Well, I'll make money for the later. Amen. This is about Jesus performing many, many mighty works, performing miracles. You know, sometimes if you just displace yourself from this generation, and mentally if you put yourself back in what Jesus said, you have to say, how in the world could they see all that Jesus did? And hear all that he said, and it even amazed them, but they still didn't believe. That's just hard to fathom in your mind. How can that be? They're talking about he said things that we've never heard before. And they watched many accounts. They said when they brought the sick to Jesus to be healed, he didn't heal just some of them, but he healed all of them. They're watching all of this, but they still didn't believe. Well, our thought is going to come out of this third and fourth and fifth verse. Now, they saw all that he did. How many know they saw the miracles?
Amen.
I want to ask you, has God performed any miracles in your life?
Amen.
Honestly, your sister Brooke's testimony of how her car was spinning out of control on the highway. And when she finally finished spinning, she was going the wrong way. But God performed a miracle on all the vehicles. That's a testimony. That's a miracle. I'm just asking, how many miracles have God performed in our lives? But some of us still don't believe. So they said they watched all that Jesus did. And then the third verse says, and even though they saw it, they couldn't explain it. They said, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Hosea's, and of Judah, and of Simon? And are not this his sisters here with us? And they were, you know, if God does something in my life, I don't have no time to be offended.
Amen.
Amen. That song said, I didn't lose my hope. I pray today that no one has lost hope. So I didn't lose my joy. I never lost my, after all that God has done, after all the miracles he's done, I cannot lose my praise. So, our message today is when Jesus looked at them, I would imagine he would have said, stop counting me out. The Lord says, stop counting me. You don't understand what God is doing in my life, but don't count me out. And then I imagine if he really wanted to get real deep with it, he would say, I won't let your words define who I am.
Yes.
I'm just curious. You ever been through some stuff and people said what you wouldn't do, what you couldn't do, and what you couldn't? Hey, stop counting me out. Because I won't let your words define. Now back in 1940, when I was a young man. Hey, didn't Jesus tell Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you, I knew you. And before you even in your mother's womb, I knew you. So the Lord knew me in 1940.
Amen.
But back in 1940, well, I have to go back far enough so y'all don't try to talk stuff. You know how y'all are. Y'all are sensitive people. when you start telling a story, everybody be like, what was that? Who was that? 1940, y'all need more, so I'm trying to figure it out. I had the pleasure of dealing with another young man, and I learned something from dealing with this young man. Some of y'all are going to figure it out, but most of you won't. And the young man was going into an occupation that he didn't know anything about. And he was going to school for it. And myself and the whole group were saying, don't do that, that's crazy. Why are you going to get involved with something that you don't know nothing about? All right. Any of y'all know what I'm talking about? Good. Yes. Don't know. What? So I should go back to 1920 then. But anyway, we told the young man, don't do that. You don't know nothing about it. You wasted your time. Choose another occupation that will be more fitting to you. But the young man in 1940 didn't listen. The young man was determined that our words were not going to define him. Unless the young man was saying, you're counting me out, but you don't know what I'm going to do. So the young man, against our wishes, against our advice, not wishes, advice, continued on. But what I admired about the young man is the young man did this. Because he didn't know nothing about the occupation, he went and worked for free. To learn the occupation. So he went to school during the day. And at night, he went and worked for free. So that he didn't only have book knowledge, but he also had experience. Then the young man graduated and became the supervisor in that occupation. I learned myself from that. I'm never going to count anybody out. And I'm so glad that the young man didn't allow my words or our words to define him. Well, Jesus here, how many of you know people just couldn't accept Jesus? Well, you know why the Jews really had a whole problem trying to accept Jesus and who he was? Because they believed that Jesus was an illegitimate child. Jews were strictly against anyone that was born out of wedlock. Well, they said, how do you know that? If you in your spare time go to Matthew, the first chapter, and read like verses 19 through 21, because the scripture says that Joseph was espoused to Mary. And while he was espoused to her, he thought privately about putting her away. But he didn't want to make a public example in giving her a writing of divorcement. And the scripture said, while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord came to him and spoke to him and said, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. Because that thing which is born in her is born of the Holy Ghost. So the Jews, they always discounted Jesus because they felt as though he was a child of a harlot. So that was part of them trying to overcome because they were counting him out because of the standards of that day. Hallelujah. God, he had no favor with God. But I'm so glad that Jesus didn't let their words define who he is. And now I wonder today, how many of us, I don't care if it's the doctor, the lawyer, the banker, whoever, how many of us allow the negative opinion of others to define who we are? How many of us allow the negative opinion of others to count us? I'm just wondering how many of us have a desire in our heart to do something, but we won't do it because we're letting the words of others define who we are. Amen. I could go say some other stuff, but I ain't going to go back to the 1900s because that'd be too far back. And then by that time, most of y'all figure out I ain't 117 years old, so I'm not going to go there. But honestly, how many of us right now are in a because of what other people have said and are saying. Well, if I move back to 1945, if I listen to the opinion of others, I'd still be in the cartoons. I'd still be Elmer Fudd. I'd still be in the cartoons because other people counted me out. Other people judged me based on the outward appearance. I should have put, I ain't gonna use my resume too much. I'm using this time. Y'all with me? If I put out my resume, I went to RTI and I was on the dean's list. So how you counting me out? I went to RTI, I was one of the top in my class, and I was on the football team. How you calling me out of fun? I'm just curious. What are you judging me based on? And if I hadn't listened to them, they would have defined me. And I'd still be in the cartoon book as nothing more than a fit. But when I look back, I can say like the Apostle Paul, I am glory.
Yeah.
alcohol mixed up. Parents were slaves, right? Then they got all messed up with the whites. Then my aunts were Indian. So I'm everything. What color are you? I'm Jesus only.
Because he
was the son of a harlot, and the Jews. Hallelujah. I'm so glad you don't know where I came from.
Yes,
I'm so glad you don't really know my history.
Right.
So a lot of people will judge you based on what they think, but I won't allow your words to. A lot of people say, well, you'll never do this, you'll never do that. What do you believe? Who, let me ask you a question, honestly. Who do you believe, man or God?
God.
Honestly, who do you believe?
God.
Where God said, with me, nothing is impossible. So why are you eliminating things that you can't have because I'm just a logical lawyer, the baby, the boot, the bump, the boot, whatever it is. I don't care who it is, why you eliminating what God can do in your life because of people. Well, Jephthah is a very, very interesting individual because he had that same problem that they thought Jesus had. So people were trying to, and they were also trying to define him. Verse 1 reads, now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of the Lord. And he was? You messed up. He was messing up right now with the Jews because he was a son of a. So immediately he was counted out. But the scripture said he was a mighty man. It's just like God when he called him. He said, thou mighty man of the Lord. A valor, whatever. I'm from South and say, well, Lord, y'all be there. But he said, thou mighty man of the Lord. And Gideon was shocked. He said, me? He said, don't you know? I come from the poorest of all the families. He said, now I'm not from the poorest tribe, the tribe of Benjamin. He said, but I am the least in my father's house. God said, but I see something in you that man can't see. God sees something in us that we can't see. And from that point on, when Gideon accepted God's word, he took 300 men and destroyed millions. Why? Because God was with him.
Yes.
He wouldn't allow anything to count it up, made up from the word. Say, well, you don't know what part of the neighborhood I grew up in. Don't count yourself out.
Amen.
As long as you got God, you have more than anything to start. But Jephthah was a son of a harlot. So guess what people wanted to do? Define him. They wanted to count him out. Verse 2 said, and Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's son grew up, and they thrust out. So Jephthah was the first woman, they cast him. They counted him out. Amen. They cast him out and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit our father's house. For thou the son of a. You're not like the rest of us. You don't walk like we walk. You don't talk like we talk. You don't look like we look, and you don't have our mother. He said, so we're going to cast you out. I'm so glad that when God looks at us, he doesn't see us as men see it, because everybody else is looking at our appearance. But God said, I see something in you that no man can see. I see something in your heart that I can use one day. He said, just be faithful unto me.
Yes.
So they cast him out, the Bible says, then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And their gathered came into Jephthah and went out with him. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, is who? God's people. So sometimes God people can be a little precious. God's people can be biased. God people are too judgmental. Hey, learn Matthew 7:1. What does Matthew 7:1 say? Pull it up there. It's only a few little words, I tell you. It says, judge not, and you won't be judged. God said, judge not, and you won't be judged. How many know God's people like to judge everything they see? So they judged Jephthah to be unworthy. They counted Jephthah out because he didn't come like they came. Some said, something to the water, something to the fire. But how do you know we all came through the blood? So don't try to figure out how I got here. Just be glad I'm here, because that means God has done something marvelous in my life. And it was so that when the children of Ammon war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of. Wait a minute, you just kicked him out. You just judged him and said he's no good. You counted him out. You defined him because of where he came from. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when ye are in? Listen, people are talking about you and do all kind of stuff, but when they get in trouble, saints, visitors, or friends, whatever you do, hold on to God. Don't let people define you and what you are, because they said Jephthah was no good, but God called him a mighty man of valor. So when the time of need, they came back because Jephthah refused to allow people to count him out. Don't let nobody define you. You know, the world is full of opinions. The only opinion that really counts today is God's opinion. Yeah. What does God think about you? Yeah. What does God say about you? Yeah. That's the only thing that counts today. So don't allow anyone to define who you are. And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee. We indeed, now we need you. Hallelujah. That thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon and be with you. They cast you out. You see how God is? Look at somebody and say, everything with God comes full circle. It always comes about if you stay faithful. If God says that Jephthah was a mighty man, that God saw something in him that no one else was able to see, even Israel couldn't see it. Right? They couldn't see it. But now they want to make him head over. Over what? All. Why? Because he refused to allow their words to define who he is. Now, if we just take a moment, how many of us are in a bad place? How many of us are in a situation, not because we don't desire something greater, but because someone else has defined us? Someone else has said what we couldn't do and what God could not do in us. I'm so glad that I know God for myself. Amen. So they brought him and made him the head. Let's get down to verse 11. It says, then Jephthah went out with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him. And why? Because he refused to allow anyone else to define who he is. There are preachers that aren't preaching. Why? Because they allow others to define who they are. There are singers that aren't singing because they're letting others define who they are. There are some good, godly people that want to be used in their ministry for God, but they won't do it because they're allowing others to define who they are. I wonder if we will make an inner inspection of ourselves today. How many of us have counted ourselves out? Not because God said he can't do it, but because of what others have said about us. I'm not going to go there, but if you go there, I'm going to make mention of it. Remember when Goliath came out to challenge Israel? The Bible said everybody ran in fear. But David spoke up and said, I will go out and fight against him. The first thing you have to overcome when you're trying to do anything for God is failure. Because his brother said, we know the knowledge is in your heart. We know what David looked at. He said, is there not a cause? He said, I won't let you define who I am. And then they brought him to Saul. And when they brought him to Saul, Saul said, oh, you're nothing more than a child. You're not able to go out and fight against Goliath. He's been a man of war from his youth. David said, let me give you my resume. There was a bear and a lion that came out while I was keeping the sheep. Philistine, that he should defy the army of the living God. He said, the same God, thank you, Lord. Look at somebody and say, the same God, for the same God, he has not changed. He's the same God, that delivered me from the hand of the man of life, the same God. I said, the same God, he's going to deliver me out of the hand of the lion. That's the second one to try to count him out. Then when he got to Goliath said, what? You sending a boy to do a man's job? David said, don't look at me for what I am. You better look at who's behind me. That's our problem in church. We let people define us for who we are, and we fail to remember who's behind me. He said, today, my glory is going to deliver you into my hand because the battle is not mine. I said, the battle is not mine, but the battle is. The battle is the Lord. So old Goliath said, well, you just come on. I'm going to feed you to the birds of the air. Now, if that had been some of us, just think about some of our mountains, our Goliaths, our giants that keep making us retreat. That thing that seems impossible that you refuse to challenge. When Goliath came at David, the Bible said David didn't just walk. But David, he ran at Goliath. Most of us, that had been us. Today is not about us, but it's about the God in us. He said, the God that's in us, listen to me. I'm about to close here. The God that's in us is the same God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He said, that same God that raised Jesus from the dead, he's in our mortal bodies, and he will quicken us. Hallelujah. So you need to understand, it's not what you can do, and it's not what others can do, but it's the God, as we all say, it's the God. So you counting me out based on where I live, based on the car I drive, and based on the clothes that I wear, but there's a God in me. And then God in me said, I can do all things if I just look unto him who is the author and finisher of my faith. So the next giant, the next mountain, the next challenge that comes your way, don't run from it, but run at it. Come on, the next challenge that comes your way, don't retreat, but go at it. The Bible says, no man had to put his hand to the plow at it. Look at that instead. Yeah. Don't let somebody else's words define who you are. Don't count yourself out, and don't let others count you out. The biggest question today is, who do you believe? Who do you trust? Whose words do you accept? One thing about the Word of God, the Bible says, God will never lie. What about two immutable things of which it is impossible for God to lie? If God has spoken it, he's able to bring it to pass.